Week 12 was a tough week for contenders as we saw numerous players of high stature go down. Welcome to Terrestrial Takes. I'm your host, Ant Duchesne, joined with, by always, with Nubs. What injury hurt you the worst as far as your contending teams are concerned?
Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, that was probably my answer too.
We did our preseason show and I picked him as my yardage leader for rushers, and he's been low on touchdowns, which, you know, that's something that can always
just
come
robbed,
back.
Just going down at the one numerous times.
But now it's just like, what do I do? And it's going to be difficult just because, you know, you're in a spot where you really either got to put the pedal to the metal or just kind of decide to sell off. So we'll see how that ends up for the rest of my season. But I got to be scrambling this week.
Yeah. I was thinking Dalvin or Debo. Debo missed one to 2 weeks or so is what I'm saying. Seeing comes right after we have the discussion of Debo or DJ Moore. And I think he did more to, I mean, further himself or at least make it more of a discussion. But now he's going to miss a couple weeks. Hopefully he's okay. But yeah, we got a lot to get to today. And I guess the best way to go over everything would just be to get to a rapid recap.
Now it's time for the NFL rapid recap.
First game of the week, Bears-Lions. Bears end up with a last-second field goal to win the game.
Down goes Swift. In overtime, we have the Raiders beating the Cowboys 36-33.
Really good game by the Raiders. We have Buffalo and the Saints. The Saints getting blown out at home. 4 touchdowns for Allen.
I was already asleep after eating too much turkey. Then we had Sunday Bengals just routing the Steelers 41-10. Joe Mixon is your league winner.
I'm not sure who's cooked more, Ben or the turkey. Tampa Bay rolls into Indianapolis, and they win by 7 after multiple turnovers by the Colts in the second half.
Colts gave them all they could handle. Dolphins also rout the Panthers. A lot of shitty games on this Sunday to win their 4th straight, which is the 3rd longest streak in the NFL.
I believe when Cameron entered the end zone, he fake tore off his jersey. He should have said, "I'm bad." Titans go into Foxborough and get their asses handed to him.
Jacoby Myers, 5-for-98. That's my baby. Eagles losing to the Giants, 7-13. Jalen Hurts, who the hell are you throwing to?
The Giants? Atlanta goes into Jacksonville and pulls it out by 7. This game was never really close.
Good to see the GOAT Cordell back on the field. Jets take down the Lions.
We're learning how bad this Houston team is. Chargers cannot inspire their offense at all in Denver. Lose 28-13.
Justin Herbert, we'll get to him later. That's my baby boy. Rams lose their 4th in a row, I think. Packers 28-36. They have not won in over a month.
I also believe Matt Stafford is 0-18 versus teams 5 games over 500 for his career.
That's cherry pick.
We have the Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers, in which Debo Samuel hurting his knee.
It was more like my heart. Browns 10 to the Ravens 16. Lamar Jackson's picked off 4 times targeting Mark Andrews in this one.
4 picks and Baker can't score more than 10 points. And we have Seattle going into Washington and looking like a terrible football team.
Almost as bad as the game was in general. I stopped watching at halftime. This has been the rapid recap. Thanks for listening. Bye. So we got some feedback for last week's where the music ended and we kept going. And no, that was not an editing mistake. That was on purpose because one, it's a pain to cut that audio. And two, we're trying to get this down quick. And so the first time that we're able to finish it with the music will be like an accomplishment.
Keep in mind, we don't have the music behind us when we do this.
Yeah, no music's on.
We're not guessing. We're not knowing where we're at. We're guessing.
Yeah, so it takes some editing. I'm going to cut out a lot as much as I can to get it crisp and clean. But yeah, it's going to be like a game every week to see if we can finally get it down to the, I think it's like a minute to go through all the games. So it's not an editing mistake. It's on purpose. Maybe it's just a bad decision. We'll see. So that was the rapid recap. All right. You heard it all. Everything you needed, every angle from every game, in-depth analysis right here. And now I think we'll kick it to our main event, which is kind of two-parter, but we got things we want to talk about.
It's time for the main event.
So last week, because it took so long, we only talked about the AFC playoff race. Nothing really changed too much, I feel, there. I mean, Pats ended up as the one seed, as they should be. Go Pats. This is the Pat Podcast. But now we're going to be doing the NFC, and might as well start with the best race or worst. I don't know. It's depend. I'm a half glass empty guy usually. So NFC East, where it's not as bad as it was last year. We at least have a team that's well over 500 with the Cowboys at 7-4. But then we have all three teams, I mean, theoretically in it with Washington at 5-6, Eagles at 5-7, and Giants at 4-7. Cowboys, I picked preseason to win this division. I had really good odds, actually. It was like plus 200 or so. I think I'm going to have to pull that up, I think. But I also had Dak to win comeback player of the year. I think both of them pretty good. I think we got Dallas holding out here. I mean, their schedule isn't the easiest. They got the Saints, Washington, Giants, Washington, Cardinals, and Eagles. But you go 500 and you should be hard to catch.
This was really a week for them to just make a statement and close the door. And they couldn't do it.
Against the steamroller Raiders.
But I don't, unless Washington's defense becomes a top five unit and they just go on a roll, I don't see anybody catching the Cowboys. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are out. Like, I don't care about mathematically, but I mean, the Eagles, just you're not going to, I mean, you have to catch. Everything has to go right for them. I mean, and it hasn't been. Like, that was a terrible game by Jalen. And I mean, we've seen the Eagles team catch fire and go on a run, and with the Giants, but I don't see anybody catching this team. I mean, Chase Young's out with the football team. I mean, the Cowboys are so talented that they can make up for just being very undisciplined and just not good. And I cannot wait to see the line on their game, because they're going to have a home game as a divisional team. I'm just telling you now, I've already said it, but I'm betting the money line against them in that game, especially if the line's like, I don't know who they're like projected to go up against at the moment. I would assuming they are the 4 seed. Maybe I should have done some pre-show due diligence, but they're 4. Okay. So yeah, I mean, like, you're looking at, there's a bunch of 5 teams, but you're probably looking at, you know, the Rams or the Niners, and the Rams might be favored if they go in there. But they've been puking on themselves as well, so we might have to revisit them. Yeah, I don't see anybody catching them in the NFC. If we go up north, things get a little more grisly. We got the Packers at 9-3. Who, I mean, have they clinched? No, not yet.
I think it's one more game, and they have a magic number.
Yeah, they have a bye week. Then they got the Bears, Ravens, Browns, Vikings, Lions. So those are a couple of tough games. I mean, Bears divisional game. I think Fields might be back, which might, I'm a Fields guy, but I think Dalton gives them a better chance to win as constituted right now. It's okay to say that Fields probably just wasn't ready, and we'll see how he learns from the first trial run. He was starting to come together a little bit, seeing the flashes. They started kind of using him more as we thought he might be used, you know, out of the pocket, using his legs a little. But if we're talking about the Bears, they're 4-7. They're pretty much out of it, trying to play spoiler. The only thing interesting here, I guess, would be the Vikings, if they can try and catch a wild card spot. They're at 5-6, and they have Lions, Steelers, Bears, Rams, Packers, Bears. Now, if they got hot, it sucks. They just lost Dalvin, though. But, like, this is a schedule that might shape up for them. I mean, I think they should win those next 3 games at the Lions, versus the Steelers, at the Bears. If you're going to make the playoffs, you have to win those 3 games. Then it comes down to Rams, where you can try and get one of the wild card, try and get up in the wild card on the Rams, Packers, Bears. So I think the Vikings have a shot, but losing Dalvin hurts a lot.
Real bad. And this team, as we've seen the entire year, has just lost close game after close game after close game. So they're probably more competitive than their record. And before Washington won, they actually were in the playoffs. But it's almost, I can't believe that Atlanta and Minnesota have the same record.
Well, you know what the difference is? Cordell Patterson went to Atlanta.
Atlanta also got to play the Jags this week.
Yeah, that's always nice. Are the Lions officially out of the playoffs? I don't think so. I guess they could win their next 7. Be 7-10.
Maybe mathematically in that sense they are still in, but like, you got to think, even just like teams playing each other, someone's probably going to get a win or a tie, and they'll then, well, never mind, the Lions have a tie, So they probably are in for another week.
And oh, so they have six games left. That's why. So I was only looking at the loss column.
Yeah, but five games is in the playoffs right now. So, but yeah, more or less just looking at it with just the, I can't think of the word right now, but just the way in which the teams will have to go off against each other. Someone's going to get a win. So,
yeah. Yeah, I would have helped you with the word, but I was trying to navigate DraftKings to see my bets. Yeah, it was almost 2-1 for Dallas to win the division. It was easy money for me. And Lions, worst regular season record, still looking very good. That was plus 450.
That's awesome.
I know. It was too easy. Everyone's like, Houston, Jets. And I'm just like, dude, no. I know everybody wanted the Lions to be. It was a fun story for a little while. Everyone wanted to root for them because they were the lovable loser. But you got to put your feelings aside and win some money sometimes.
You know what you should do is just use your Shanahan voice and reiterate, Houston, Jets.
Yeah, Jets.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Could be worse record. Ooh.
I mean, I'm talking a big game, but it is only a 2-game race. I mean, we have the Lions here. They don't face the Jets or Houston. And I think Houston's the second one right now with two wins, right? Or
that's correct.
The Jaguars too, maybe. Yeah,
Jaguars have two as well. Yeah.
So they don't play any of them. So they would have to win three games. Yeah, they would have to win. I don't know, tiebreakers. It's still possible for them to win a couple games, but let's just hope not. They lost Swift. Keep on losing, baby. Get healthy for next year.
Swift as well. To reiterate to your first question of the day. Yeah, Swift is hurting my playoff chances right now.
Yeah, that shoulder. But if we go down south, I mean, this is a division that turned over year after year for like the last 5 years, and we have the Bucks on the top at 8-3. But then the next three teams all have five wins, so they're all still in it. Bucks only at the 3 seed right now.
At best, they all make for a first round tasty exit for another team to play.
Yeah, you think this division is a first round exit?
No, I think I'm talking about the other three. I think the Buccaneers are competitive. I'm not gonna try to claim anything of the Buccaneers are gonna go out or any of the top over 500 teams are gonna go out right now, because I don't know what the seeding is, but I think anything that's in terms of below, more likely than not, that they will not be seeing the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to start now. So like, this would probably be the point where you would look back and see like this, if we were like very wrong, it's probably that a team that got hot starting right now after Thanksgiving.
Which team is most likely to get hot?
Oh,
let's go from like, I would say Washington, but like Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta, New Orleans, Philly, and Carolina.
I would say Minnesota, even without Dalvin, or New Orleans.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just don't trust the Falcons. They're just not good. They're not competitive. They have a minus 103 differential in there.
I was literally looking at that waiting to say it.
Minus 103 differential. The Saints are at plus 8. So like, like they've been competitive. The fucking Falcons are dog shit, dude. And they play Tampa Bay this week. Tampa Bay does not have an easy schedule. I mean, besides the Falcons, they have the Bills and the Saints. Panthers, and then the Jets and Panthers. So, I mean, basically the Bills and Saints. I mean, they have a lot of divisional games, though. Like, it seems like more so than most others. Atlanta gets the Lions. But let's look at the Saints, because that's one that I can see. They got the Cowboys this week on Thursday Night Football. That's another one. What's up with freaking Kamara and Zeke? Because I have both of them, and they both play Thursday. So, like, do I just fade them both, or what do I do here?
To be fair, I'd rather have them play Thursday than, like, play, like, Sunday night, because... Yeah. Then you have like no replacements.
Yeah.
I can't talk. I have to play Drake in a league because I lost Aaron Jones.
What's so bad about playing Drake? I almost had to play fucking Chris Evans or Josh Kelly until I traded for Cordell Patterson.
Yeah, that was a good trade for you.
Thanks.
But like I think I lost Etienne, Swift, Aaron Jones is on bye. I'm trying to think if I lost any other running backs that were necessary. But it's been a bad week.
Yeah, I've made a couple trades today, so I'm not even sure where that one was or what it was. It was Trey Sermon, a third and a fourth for Cordell Patterson. It was 2-11 seed.
Basically a third and two fourths.
Yeah. Well, Deontay Foreman just went for a fourth in another league. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that is close. I probably would prefer Dante. I mean, Foreman just ran for more yards than Sermon has all year, I think.
I don't think I can get on the Foreman train. I just don't.
Oh, I'm not on it. We were talking about some really shitty locomotives. If we're talking about the Sermon train and the Foreman train,
I think I can't. Yeah. think I can't.
These are running off of dirt, not coal. I mean, I was sort of out of this for a short minute.
I wanted to be because I want to believe that Kyle Shanahan can make players fit his system right, but I just always thought he was a trap. I thought he could be a guy that could just run bulk carries, but like he just always felt like the trap in that offense. Like if someone were to draft him in like the first round,
you know,
and people were actually defending that move. Like people were doing that. Like you can say people were doing that. It was never a smart thing to be doing.
You know why it was a trap? Because that Kyle Shanahan, he's just so mysterious. You never know when he's gonna do that. That Kyle.
That never gets old. Ooh. I think the next review we get, you have to read in that voice.
Ooh. I'm going to draft Trey Sermon, and then I'm going to play Elijah McGuire. Elijah Mitchell, shit, my bad. Fuck, who's Elijah McGuire?
Is he another running back?
I think so. He's a college, right? Oh, no, he's in Kansas City. That's right. Well, shit, he'd probably play him over Trey Sermon. If we go, this is the juicy division, the NFC West. We got the Cardinals, Raiders, Seahawks. I'm a Seahawks, are, but we could have three playoff teams here. But I don't know. I mean, I think the Rams are not going to keep on losing. Like it's been a rough. The 49ers, all three of these teams have a plus different. The 49ers have been pretty hot. They've been playing pretty well. What do we got for the schedule? Because I mean, I'd like to think that unless Minnesota or New Orleans got like really, really hot and won out, like it's hard to not see three of these teams in the playoffs. We have 49ers have Seahawks, Bengals, Falcons, Titans, Texans.
Cupcake for most of it.
Yeah, I mean, you should beat the Bengals. I know they've been pretty good, but I don't know. I like the Bengals. I really like a lot of their players, but they just still have not wash the stench of puke off of, for my liking at least. I think that especially like, you know, they just beat the Steelers. Come on, let's be honest. How good of a win is it? Honestly, it is a good win. I'm just saying the Bengals are prone to shit themselves like they did against the Jets. Falcons should be cupcake. Titans might be healthy by then. I mean, that's a tough game. Texans and Rams. So I mean, you should be 3-3 at worst. You should. The Seahawks give them fits though. They're at Seattle for it, too.
Did you know that Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins are leaders in deep accuracy this year?
I did not know.
Do you think that Jimmy can keep that up? Like, because they've been playing really well as a unit. I understand that they've been having to score a lot of points, like most weeks, to do so. But, like, I'm wondering if any sort of hiccup really brings them back to reality in terms of the level of team they really are. But then you got to ask yourself, which team is going to replace them in the standings? And it's really hard to find one that you can like feel good about.
Yeah, it's, like I said, I mean, if maybe one of those NFC South teams, like they're only a game behind, about tiebreakers off the top of my, all three of those teams are only a game behind 49ers, the Vikings, and then we have Washington and Phil. I pretty much think the Rams are in. They have to go on a colossal after getting all that talent, trading away all those. It's been a tough losing streak, but they've got to get right game here against the Jaguars. I mean, you got to go out. It can't even be a productive struggle winning by a touchdown. I don't know what this line is. This line should be, I mean, at least 10.
I'm with you though. It needs to be a confidence boosting win where you just get out there. Everyone has fun where you kind of, I'm not even saying they're having an issue with chemistry, but maybe you just boost that morale, boost that chemistry a little bit. Then you roll into the next matchups because after Jaguars, they have the Cardinals, then Seahawks, Vikings, Ravens, 49ers. So they do have some challenging matchups to end the season and some kind of coin flips, if that makes sense. Like divisional matchups, yeah, there are teams that are completely superior, but that doesn't mean that other teams can't come out and just do something of note the week that you play them because of familiarity and whatever else. So those are always things at play, but yeah, I'm with you. This is really one that they should take a good handle of, a good grasp, and just kind of shake the game apart and then try to carry that momentum forward. But yeah, I think that 7-4 is not a bad record. Like if you were to just like cover cover the team icon on the standings list and kind of just look throughout what they've done this year without much context, you'd be pretty satisfied. So you know that they're dangerous, they're competitive, they're not out of it by any means. So it's just kind of like they just got to regain whatever, either momentum or swagger or whatever you want to call it, and just kind of go to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams are like, they're like one of the teams to watch coming down after this week. It's a 12.5 point spread. It's at home against the Jaguars. But then they have Cardinals, Seahawks, Vikings, Ravens, Niners. Like, all of those are playoff teams barring Jaguars. Or at least like in the hunt, like the Vikings. Like, that's a huge game, I think, that Vikings game. The Vikings are surging and they're one game behind them for the wild card. They could tie them and take the tiebreaker right there that week. That could be a huge game. And Seahawks, Jesus Christ, Russell. Just sit out. Just heal up. The point now.
Especially if you're not gonna stay with the Seahawks. There's no benefit to be playing these shitty games that, like, for an organization you don't care about it.
Yeah, where is Russ?
That's a really good question.
Vegas.
Vegas. Cleveland? What about New Orleans? Sean Payton really hasn't had like running quarterbacks that can throw, because like he had Drew Brees forever. You know, Drew Brees wasn't a running.
Well, player. I don't know. I have a good authority that Jameis Winston is one of the best buy lows in fantasy right now. LASIK surgery. He was a number one overall pick. He tore his ACL, which is good, I guess. yeah, this is me trolling good old guru fantasy world. Love you, bud.
I actually was thinking about this in the car on the way to work, and I don't even know why. But what about Jimmy G to New Orleans?
I mean, like, we thought about this. I thought Jimmy G was going to Denver and New Orleans. I mean, he probably will be gone next year. Like, I mean, I saw it going like this. I did not think Trey Lance was going to play early. I also didn't think that Mac Jones was going to start before week 5. I thought that, you know, I was wrong once or to some people, not usually. But New Orleans, man, why not just stay with Trevor Siemian? It's going to be wild. Like, the QB movement the last couple of years has been crazy.
What about Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's another one. I mean,
holy shit.
I mean, this is probably something we could talk about next week, is like really go in and look at all the quarterbacks moving and possible landing spots.
I would like to do that.
Yeah, that's probably one down. So we can actually better than just throwing names out and like, ooh, oh, Pittsburgh, oh, New Orleans, Jimmy G,
That's as long as I last, though. I only have that much.
Oh,
I'm not that mysterious.
Yeah, ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that no.
I am mysterious. I could keep Jimmy G and still play Trey Lance.
Yeah, we could have packages. Ooh. I think that's it for the playoff picture.
Kyler's still MVP.
Yeah, the MVP is just wide open. I mean, God damn it. Boston Radio kills me. They're talking to Mac Jones, which is just
I mean, they're winning. It's
yeah.
I know what you're saying about them being homers, but like at some point, someone is going.
Yeah,
we're really gonna
give it to Mac. That's why.
No, I'm not saying that.
How the defense and how everything's just lined up for them perfectly. Yeah. Everybody's getting hurt. Everybody's out. Everything's just going.
Played so well.
They've also been opportunistic. This is the test Monday night in Buffalo. This is a test. Although Tre'Davious White gets hurt right before playing them. And let's not kid. Mac Jones had one of his best fantasy games, but if you watch the game, he didn't have a great, he had stats. He went over 300 yards, had 2 touchdowns. He had a couple of good throws, but he had a lot of bad throws. It's that defense, dude. That defense has been awesome, and their competition has dog shit. It's been shit. It's been terrible. But you can only not give them so much credit because they're winning it. Like, you're winning, you should win, and they are, so they get some credit. I think this is a Patriots podcast. Sorry. All right, let's finish it out. Let's get to our last little bit of a second meeting. If I can find this and remember, I'll put it. So we did top 5 rest of season rankings by position a couple weeks ago. I think mine are looking just terrible now. I mean, AJ Brown. Oh, JT RB1. There we go. He's behind 4. But today we're doing top 5 dynasty. Sorry for the pause. I'm proud to say that, or maybe embarrassed. I don't know. I'm proud to say because I'm not somebody that suffers from take lock too hard. Oh, sorry, big dinner. My top five quarterbacks have not changed since I went through and I redid my rankings a little bit. It's just really hard to do because like I put an emphasis on a lot of people don't, but it's dynasty, but this season still matters. It was hard for me to go after, but my top five are the same as they were preseason. I have Mahomes in his own tier. And then in that tier of four, I have Herbert, Kyler, Josh Allen, and Dak.
What?
Is that yours?
I didn't hear Lamar Jackson.
Nope. He's starting number six.
Oh my God. Okay. Mine is Mahomes, Kyler, Lamar, Josh Allen, Herbert, and then Dak at six.
Yeah. Okay. So you have Allen at Dak. Yeah. I mean, I wonder how much that changed since preseason. Dak over Allen. I did pretty much. Ooh, stomach. That was sharp, man. That was sharp.
I did have Dak, but the reason I did is because I really thought he was going to be a lot more better. Obviously, I thought the passing attack would be more threatening to the defenses, but I just don't feel like he's confident even in going through his reads right now. Like even when he finds one he wants to throw to, he's hesitant. And I don't like that. Where when I forget what game it was, but it was probably 4 weeks ago that Allen really popped off. And I know he's had up and down games since then, but I feel like
he's not right now, up and down is there's I'm been talking, a lot more downs than
up. I'm talking fantasy points. That's all I'm talking about.
Okay.
Now. But like, I feel like Allen's touchdown, just his percentages or chances that he gets, the probability he scores touchdowns is just higher right now. And to me, obviously, Dak's defense is good for fantasy because they give up all this yardage. So it provides an opportunity for Dak to score again. But then, as we've seen, it's been like at least three halves of football where they have just shut down and done nothing. That he's playing catch up the rest of the game and not even getting good garbage time points either. So that's why I have to move him down.
Yeah, I feel you. I think that there is hesitancy, but I think he's come back. He should get more. I think Kellen Moore is overrated. Mike McCarthy's a goon. And
Mike McCarthy's absolutely a goon.
Yeah, that guy's a fucking clown,
dude. You always get the patented Mike McCarthy wasted timeout in the first half of the football game.
He has no idea. He makes it as far as time in, but... If we're talking about the Cowboys real quick, I want to say I hope that Zeke is fine and he doesn't miss his time, but I will be looking for the silver lining of Tony Pollard getting that extra workload, because then everybody can shut the fuck up about him being better than Zeke Elliott. Everybody, I don't know why. This is a tale as old as time. There's two things as old as time. I couldn't wait for my gripes, so they're coming out now. But you don't fade people because they score too many touchdowns. And because somebody is efficient on low usage, giving them more usage does not carry over the efficiency. We've seen it over and over, and people don't fucking understand it. Like, dude, you get more usage, your efficiency is going to go down. It's just what's going to happen. So Tony Pollard is not going to be the spark plug. He's not going to be able to handle a workhorse role. Or he will, but he's not going to be the same efficient guy that everybody thinks he is. All right, maybe he will, but this is my final stand. All right, because Tony Pollard has fucking killed me this year. He's killed me.
Too much romanticizing player possibilities and getting horny over those.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about Javonte Williams. Why don't we?
Oh, is he in your top five?
Shut the fuck up. I'm seeing CMC for fucking Javonte Williams. I'm seeing Javonte top 12 pick next week. God, why do you guys make me hate players that I like? Let's move to running back. Are you good?
I'm good.
All right. My top five dynasty running backs are Javonte Williams. I have Javonte Williams coming in at 15, but he could be as high as 12. And this is, keep in mind, I do count 2021, the rest of this season, in dynasty, because I like to win my fantasy leagues. If you have Javonte Williams top five, you just fucking told on yourself that you don't care about winning, that you're not trying to win, because he is not going to help you win at all this year. All right, he had his 20-point game. It was adorable. It was very cute. It's about time. He's still being lapped by Melvin Gordon. My top five are Jonathan Taylor, number one. CMC, number two. Saquon, three. And, those are not easy to keep there. And this was also before he was put on the IR. I made this ranking, but I'm keeping it there.
Money's not going to help you win.
Yeah, well, I still think that he'll give you two or three. He could literally be your super flex spot, but it's scary. And as we know, running backs are volatile. So this rankings will be volatile as well. That's my tier three. And then I have a tier of two to finish my top five, DeAndre Swift and Najee Harris. I don't think Harris is really that talented. I don't get me wrong. I think he is. I just don't think he's like a top five talent. He's just getting, he's a workhorse. He's going to get the load, the carries. He's going to get the snaps. He's going to get it all. Like DeAndre Swift absolutely laps Najee as far as talent is. But JT, CMC, Saquon, Swift, Harris.
I want to start this out with saying Taylor's number one, but I would be 100% okay with basically trading anybody after Taylor down to like an appropriate number, like top 15, top 18, something like that. And I'd have to look exactly where my line of demarcation is and getting value on top of it, because I feel like there's so much that's interchangeable at this point that people, you can say they really don't know what the future holds, that I wouldn't mind just kind of getting the extra on top right now. That being said, my top five is Jonathan Taylor at one, CMC at two, because I don't give a fuck that he's hurt. He's going to be a running back one with wide receiver 2 points basically every week, because
he's a super 22, flex
23. So you're getting an extra starting player in your lineup by having him. So I'm going to do that. Then I have Swift, but the thing is, like, this is the point in which after CMC, I don't really care. I feel like you could trade down and just get the extra value, because I love Swift, but like, I feel like he's underproduced in points the majority of time that he's played. And there could be a time in which the shine wears off, like almost like how Zeke produced really well for a long time, and then the shine just like wore off this year, or even a little bit last year, and people just don't want him, where he drops from like a top five dynasty running back back into like the top 15. Yeah. And like, and you just can't move him up or for anything of value, where it's just kind of like, yeah, there might be someone that still believes in him, but like they'll believe him at RB15 prices, at RB3 or RB4 prices, something like that. But so I have Taylor, CMC, Swift, Harris, and then Kamara, and then Barkley at six.
So you have Kamara in there still.
He's so dynamic, and he has the ability to score 20 plus points. Like, to me, he's the third now with Taylor, but he's the third most likely running back, if I had to pick one to save my life, to score 20 or more points in a football game.
Yeah. Mike Lou, he was talking about Marshall Faulk, and Larky, Mini Podfather, was saying like how, you know, there's no more of those type of running backs, but like, who have put up, Kamara's been an RB1 every, it's just a matter of how much longer will he be, but I think he's got the talent to be in RB more years. Like, I think the way that, now that I'm looking at it again, this is how I have to do rankings. I do them, you go back, you kind of fine-tune them, you go back, you fine-tune them. It's like it's a long, arduous process, and it's really hard when you're, at least it was for me, like, dynasty, but I have the top three are like just talents, really. JT, CMC, Saquon. And then I have Swift and Harris, which is talent and workload. And then after that, it was really hard for me to do, like, because I was ranking live when I was doing. It was so hard for me to do Cook, Chubb, Kamara, Eckler, Mixon, Henry, Jones, Dobbins, Zeke, Javonte, AG. Like, that was impossible. It was literally like impossible for me to balance rest of season and dynasty together.
Honest with you, I would rather trade down and get Mixon.
That's what I was just about to say. I think Mixon is right there. Like,
yeah,
like he should be right in the conversation of top five talent, so, youth, opportunity.
Yeah, and that's I've always liked Mixon, but it's just like that coaching staff is so stupid. They can't like throw him the ball. But
that coaching staff is dog shit. That's that stench of puke is also that they have not gotten Taylor.
But if I can move down to Mixon from a Kamara or even a Harris and just realize a hell of value, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? Like this was my approach to wide receivers for a while. Like any wide receiver that was like 25 to like 36, it basically, or even like 18 to 36, some years, you could literally move them back and just get a bunch of picks or whatever, and still have that wide receiver that produces somewhat closely resembling what you were getting at that wide receiver 18. And you've just amassed two or three more assets.
Well, that's why I think that's why zero RB is so popular. One, the RBs get hurt a lot, wasting. But also, I know it for me, wide receiver is hard to rank. Like I'm really good at finding like the values who will produce, but finding the guys that are going to pop off like Cooper Kupp this year or Hollywood Brown, those were all had in like wide receiver 20 to 35. They weren't going top 15 in drafts. So I feel like that's why zero RB is so popular. I'm not exactly sure if people are with it.
Well, and I think we are in a really weird time when it comes to dynasty. Like, I think that this is the most confused owners have been on the value of first round picks. Like, I'm sending out offers that like for proven talent that like I wouldn't think would get accepted in prior years, but so many people are just horny for picks.
Except if they're late. Don't even I cannot trade a late first. Like they literally are like it's insane that they're useless. Like they would rather my 23 second than a 22 late first. They literally every single time I've sent an offer with it, they literally just say that's a late first. And I'm like, yes, and it's fucking snowing outside. Like what facts do I need? Here's the weather in Slovakia. Like, yeah, it's a late first. So it's fucking useless? Like people have lost their minds. And I think you're right. Like the hit rate on rookies and because of the insane classes we've had have made people just think that picks are that valuable. And we're going to need some 2013s or some 2016? I think was a bad year, 28. Anyways, we're going to need some bad classes. And people are, I mean, this is already.
2017 was also pretty shitty. Yes. Unless you're a wide receiver.
Oh, I thought that was the RBs with Kamara, Mick Cornett, CMC.
No, 2017 was when Trubisky went second overall and Mahomes got drafted. Actually, Kamara was in that draft. I take it back. Yeah, Kamara Air Jones was in that draft too.
Yeah, that was a good running back draft, but it was almost like
I take it back then.
It was not like the top end running backs though. I think that wasn't that CMC year and Fournette.
Fournette, yeah, I'm gonna shut up because Fournette went 4, CMC went 8, I think 8 or 9.
I think he went 6.
No, Corey Davis went 6.
Ooh,
you know he went 7 then because it went Corey Davis, CMC, John Ross.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Trubisky 2, Fournette 4, Davis 5, Adams 6, Mike Williams 7, McCaffrey 8.
I totally messed it up. 9. I messed up the wide receiver sandwich he was between. But yeah, Aaron Jones was like a fifth rounder, Kamara was a third rounder. Do you know that Galladay and Godwin were third rounders in this draft? Just crazy stuff.
Yeah, it had some so 2017 was a fine draft.
Yeah. I forgot about the running backs. I was solely focused on the wide receivers when I was looking at that draft.
But we were talking as we get to wide receivers, I guess my top five.
I had to finish my statement. I was talking about horny for picks.
Oh yeah.
But what I found is that I want to just stud up my wide receivers if I can get top 12s and then go and get those, 24 to 36 wide receiver. But then I can trade middling picks for running backs that people don't want because either I think a lot of it is fear more than confusion. They're just not wanting to be stuck holding a bag that's not worth anything when it's like even like your Melvin Gordons and JD McKissick's, you can get like I think I actually made a trade where I got both of those guys for a second rounder and this was like to start this. So like I'm not even a zero RB-er, but like I would rather get like total studs at another position if I can and then just backfill with upside wide receivers and decent floored running backs. And it seems to work out pretty, but to me, there's no winning a league like winning it with stud running backs. Cause it's just so predictable when you have them and they don't get hurt.
Yeah. when you have them and they don't get hurt.
Well, I mean, in the essence that like,
I understand. It's just there funny. Is
like, you can have an AJ Brown that puts up 30 points, but he still could put up 3 the next week where if you have that stud running back, you have a killer.
Oh my God, Solomon Thomas.
And that was after the Lions traded up. They traded a 3 and a 4 and I think a future 4 to the 49ers to move up a pick to pick a quarterback nobody else wanted.
And I'm also seeing just Deshaun Watson is only he's only 35 touchdowns behind Patrick Mahomes without playing.
Think if the Saints don't take Lattimore at 11 and they take Watson, who went the pick afterwards. So it went Mahomes, Lattimore, Watson. That would be insane.
Yeah, if you gave Peyton Watson.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at Solomon Thomas, TJ Watt.
Yeah, who the Packers traded pick 29 to the Browns, who took Njoku, and then they took Kevin King over Delvin Cook in round 2. That was fun.
Jesus. All right. Top five wide receiver. I've got a tier four, pretty interchangeable. I mean, there might be slight value rates on who you might rather, but all of these guys are pretty much guys that, whatever. I got Jay Jeff, Chase, Tyreek, CeeDee. And then at five, I mean, it's a real toss up, but I'm putting Cooper Kupp there at five for now. Who went way up? I was low on Cooper Kupp coming into this year. Not necessarily low, but Adam, he's proven I've bought him in. I think what he's doing, I know he's fallen off, but is quotations sustainable? I think the guy for the most part, a high end. Jay Jeff, Chase, Tyreek. But right after that, we have AJ Brown, Devontae Adams. It's pretty close.
Wow, our lists are similar. I really want to put Chase at one, but I'm going Jay Jeff because I just think Jay Jeff is multi-tooled, who is just, once again, like the running back, is more likely to give you more consistent scoring. So Jay Jeff, Chase, and then I have Lamb, Hill, AJ Brown, and I put DK. But the thing is, if Russell Wilson leaves, I don't know what happens to DK. But the thing is, what we've seen with Geno this year is that it seems more likely that DK is going to get massive targets when it comes to the backup QB when they throw the ball. And, you know, well, I mean, there was the one game, I think it was it the Saints in Seattle, where he only had like two or three targets, but the first one took him for like a 6-yard touchdown.
I honestly don't.
Same.
I had one. I traded him for Chase.
I love DK as a prospect, but I don't love him as like, I have him at six or seven or whatever that was, for the fact that he's young and he's a stud. He can be one of those big scorers for you, but he's definitely a guy I would rather not have on my team and kind of get more assets once again, or upgrade.
I got Chase in one league. It was something else, but and then I also, and I've got him at 10. Like it's just that there's out of 12 people in a league, 10 of them are going to value him as a top five guy, and I'm not. So I just never got him.
That's like exactly true. Seriously,
and I'm okay with it, and it's been okay so far this year. I mean, he's wide receiver. Yes, he's had a struggling Russ, but yeah, if he loses Russ, I think Russ is, I don't know about stats or PFF scores. I think that Russ is one that it's just going to be hard because, you know, that's all he can do.
Startups are going to be so much fun next year.
I know, but I can't do anymore. I don't know how I'm supposed to do more startups, but I don't know how I'm supposed to not do.
They're literally going to look you're going to look back at what your startups were this year for any sort of like barometer, and it's not going to make any sense. Because there could be two running backs in the first round.
Taylor and Harris.
Yeah, and maybe Swift, but like...
Probably not. See seven running backs, three wide receivers. No, Pitts. Pitts will be in there too.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, why don't you give me your top five?
Pitts, who I own nowhere because I did not want to pay his price.
I got a lot of Pitts, actually. I thought I was going to go into the year with no Pitts because I thought everyone was going to take him higher than me. And then I ended up just taking up for him.
I think he's a hell of a talent. My issue going in is just it's very unpredictable, but it's really hard to point out any other player that at this position that like has that potential value. So yeah, Pitts, Kelsey, Waller, Hockenson, and then Andrew with Goddard and Kittle following right behind.
All right. Miss me with the Goddard.
I am very worried about Kittle and don't want to pay that price.
I am worried about a lot of these people, actually. Your head full. I'm like readjusting it. I should have thought that.
Well, I can talk about my list a little bit right now. So I called Pitts the eraser because he made all of Kyle Trask's mistakes go away because he saved him on so many throws. Pitts is a great talent. It's just so unpredictable about that tight ends, offensive workloads will transfer over to the league. Now we are seeing that Pitts is dynamic, but he's also had some games where he's capped, and I understand he's still a rookie, things like that. Also, Matt Ryan kind of has no heart when he throws the ball. Kelsey's just been too consistent for too long. You got to ride that train out. That's one of the guys that's probably going to die in your roster. Waller, just, you know, I would believe in his target share, but hasn't been that great in the coming weeks, and I know that he's now hurt, and it might be some fun to see what Moreau does in that offense, but we just will have to find out. Hockenson, you know, once he gets the new quarterback, that'll be just kind of a fresh start and probably reinvigorated excitement for him and his position to see what he can do, and I think that'll kind of shoot his value up again. And I can see the production kind of matching suit. Andrews is just a big main target on the offense, and I don't see that going away. And then Goddard, I hope he gets
all new right, quarterback. So I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh, my God.
We're not talking about tight end 14 right now, okay?
Oh, 14?
14.
I want to hear the entire list to 14 now.
All right. Well, I had to change it back. It was a little too hot. And it's really – so some of these guys, like Kittle, like Waller, like TJ Hockenson, all three of those guys are guys that I will have ranked higher. Actually, I don't. Realistically, they're ranked higher, but I will be passing on them for Freiermuth. I wanted to put Freiermuth at 5. I just don't think I can do it yet. I would rather take Freiermuth or even just a round or two, even if it's that close. I would rather take him around Jay Hawkins. I've just always been lower on Hawk, but I've got Kyle Pitts at 1, Travis Kelce at 2, again, balancing winning with Dynasty a little bit. Then I have a tier 3 of Mark Andrews, George Kittle, and Noah Fant. And now I...
Oh, Noah Fant?
Noah Fant.
Oh.
I know.
Great player.
Yeah.
Bad situation.
It is right now until Rodgers gets there next year. And
the guy that hasn't really targeted tight ends in his entire career.
He's also never played in Denver, and he's also never thrown lefty. I mean, there's a lot of never things that have never happened.
But, I feel like Judy would become Rodgers' favorite target.
I'm not saying that Fant will be the one. I think he'll just be a top tight end. I think he's just it's just hard. It's so close here at 5. Like, it's literally so close at 5 between Fant, Freiermuth, Hawk, and Waller. Now, if you were giving me one, for free, which taking everything out of it, I'll take Waller because I like to win. But, like, if we're definitely, especially if we're valuing and cost and stuff, like, I'm going to take Freiermuth. But if you wanted to hear the rest, I mean, Freiermuth, TJ Hockenson, Waller, Mike Gesicki, Cole Kmet, Irv Smith, Tyler Higbee, Hunter Henry, Dallas Goedert.
Irv Smith? Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Nope.
No way. I respect the Freiermuth because he's in my top 10 for sure.
Irv. Irv has played like dog shit this year. I mean, we haven't seen much of him.
But Irv needs to play in the slot. Irv doesn't even need to play tight end. They just need to.
Well, that's what most of these guys do. Gesicki doesn't play fucking tight end.
Yeah, but like Irv?
Irv. I'm not that dream. I would, the dream's honestly, not dead.
I think OJ Howard might still be a better tight end than Irv Smith. I really do.
Well,
I'm not ranking him in Dynasty, but I'm not taking Irv either.
the dream's not dead.
Well, you'll be the only one competing for him at what, tight end 11?
Oh,
good Lord.
Well, like, you balance and cost. Like,
pray for Deshane's, okay? Clearly, he's lost his mind.
Dude, I'm shooting for upside at that point. And when we're talking about Higbee, Henry, Irv, Goddard, Engram, Logan Thomas.
Conklin's better than Irv. What are you talking
about?
Oh, get
the fuck out of here, dude. He's 23. He's coming back from an MCL. Ain't no Achilles. I am just fine with it. Oh. And I'll have tons of them. I still do have them.
I'll have to acquire some I can sell to you.
Yeah, I'll give you a 4.
23-4?
Ugh.
That's worth
maybe like a 23-second. Yeah, maybe a 22-second. I might rather that.
Okay.
So that's it. Fade Duchesne's, baby. Well, I don't know. Give me your fucking 6 through 12 tight ends. You've got Goddard. Goddard's a fucking without
a quarterback. I already gave you 7. So 8, I'll put Freiermuth. 9, I'll go Fant. Put me on the spot. I need a second. I just want to make sure I'm not forgetting. No, Irv isn't in my top 20.
No, you're just.
I'll go Dawson Knox. I believe that's at 10. How is that trolling you?
I don't know, but I'm about to mute you if you keep giving me guys.
I'm going to go Gronk. Gronk is basically a top 10 tight end until he retires, and I'm cool with that because the rest of them below basically don't matter.
That's true.
I'll go Kmet. I believe in his ability to move around like the formation. I really want to put Conklin because I like Conklin more than like Irv.
I'm about to. All right. Gripe of the week is your hate. You got a gripe?
I absolutely have a gripe. I go to Wisconsin for Thanksgiving. I come back with cold as we're descending into Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. My ears hurt real bad because of the pressure, and I can't seem to like reduce the pressure inside my head. And I've had this like in my left ear when I swallow, it feels like, or it sounds like it's like relieving pressure, but then it goes right back. So I am actually, after this, I'm most likely going to go to CVS and pick up one of these, what is it, like Euthia? It's like something that puts like air through your nostrils. As long as you're not saying the dirty one, Eustachia.
I've never heard of that, but I might need that because I
live Eustachia, like Eustachian tube exerciser. So it like puts, you like close one nostril and it pumps air into it, which then is supposed to do something with kind of relieving the pressure or like draining the fluid that connects like your ear and your throat.
Yeah. All right. I don't know why a doctor's never told me this. I'm going to go out.
Because I'm literally going to buy it too.
this is my life. This is how I live.
when I was younger and I always would get like bulked up sinuses, I always wanted to get like a mini dentist suction tube and just like put it in my nose and just like suck out all the gunk. But I never knew if that would work because they wouldn't create a vacuum in there because like, you know, it's just a cavity. But like seeing if you could like get a hold of something and just clear out your whole cheekbone sinus area.
Yeah. My gripe of the week is what the title of this podcast this week's become a football is people posting DFS with $100,000 in winning and like $80,000 in entries. First step to winning $100,000, have $80,000.
Hey, just so you know, you did that last week.
It wasn't my gripe though, but I think I had this bit last week. But I mean, there's another way to do it is you join a league with people, all right?
And this is like this. Yeah. I like it. We're joining leagues. Okay.
I'm basically anybody. You go all in for the first year, all right? Bigger the stakes, better. Then you chip away at that millie, you know? And then
you leave.
No. No, then the league folds because that's what leagues do. And because people run their teams into the fucking ground trying to win 5 years from now. And then they just keep giving you money as you keep saying, thank you, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'll take that money. And then they'll be sick. They'll leave. Somebody else who was also trying to do the same thing and failing miserably will leave. And then they can't find replacements. Boom, league folds. You take some of that money, you do it again. You do that about, what, 100 to 200,000 times? You're a millionaire.
It's a good plan. Yeah. It's a really good plan.
You like that?
I just like joining the Aegis versus non-discriminatory league. Bro. Because there's only like four people that compete.
I joined it as a non-discriminator. And then I ended up just becoming an ageist because I knew when I was drafting that the other people aren't going to draft the old dudes. Like I'll just take the young guys and then draft the old guys because they're not going to be taken because they're ageists. And I'm also in first place still somehow.
Do you know, I had the first pick in the startup and nobody, I put the first pick on the block and nobody even made me an offer. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know if it's crazy or not, because I wouldn't.
Well, like, it's, you wouldn't even find out what it costs?
I guess I try and find out, but I just know that I just know it's cheaper to get the player afterwards.
You know, my worst startup experience happened this year, and it was someone had the 101 in a super flex draft. They took CMC. Then they went, oh shit, I took CMC in a super flex draft, traded CMC for a first rounder, but a first round startup, but they traded CMC and their first round pick in the next year's rookie draft to trade down in a draft. They had the first overall pick. That literally happened this year.
That's pretty bad. I had a bad one like that where it wasn't like that bad. Yeah, last year I had one. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's not like I have the names or anything. I just remember that I had a bad pick and I traded back up. It was not my best navigation, but I think that'll do it. That was back-to-back weeks, baby. That we did it. I think they're like our longest. So
I think they're good. I like that. We're getting along.
Yeah, we're getting along. So I'm going to go edit the shit out of this, especially that rapid, and get that down. I don't think we hit it this week, but thanks for listening. Go sell your Javante Williams.